Shabbat Shalom. Whatever the situation, God wins. Whatever the situation, God wins. You know, I never realised till now how important that title is for this day and age, where our enemies wage war against God, both physical and spiritual, in the hopes that one day they will win. Because why else fight against the truth? Unless you assume that you win, you can win against God. And that is in the mind of Hasatan, who thinks he can win. But God wins. Today we have reached the end of Bereshit. And the end of Yaakov's life. My favourite character in the Torah. He was concerned with being buried in the land of Israel before his passing. So he made Joseph swear to him that he'd be taken out of Egypt. Yaakov then sought to tie up loose ends and bless the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and made them equal to his other sons. Yaakov then called his other sons to give them his final words. I was going to put their blessings, but when you read it, not so much blessings, but rebukes. Just need to look at Shimon and Levi, who had no positive words to be said. You shall not be in my council. Because of their anger. I was going to start there in my drasha, but it took me another road. I thought it was interesting that they're not allowed in his council, meaning that council should not be based on anger or fury. Sound counsel comes from the Torah, it comes from logical thinking, not emotion, not anger. Because nothing good comes out of it. Later, we see the reconciliation of Yosef and his brothers after the death of their father. I don't know if reconciliation is a proper term for it, but certainly Yosef promised not to kill them for what they'd done to him. Often the Torah seems to be unsure what to call Yaakov. It goes from Yaakov to Israel, back to Yaakov again, Israel, Yaakov. It's like, make up your mind. We are at times seeing him be called Yisrael, and other times as Yaakov, since it was changed when he encountered the angel of Hashem. Whereas other characters within the Torah, more specifically Abraham and Sarah, whose names were Avram and Sarai, when they were called Avram or Sarai after their names were changed. There's no mention of Abraham being called Avram. I have heard different explanations for Yaakov having two names. One being that when God called Yaakov, well, Yaakov, it was an indication that he was being bad, a sort of rebuke, sort of God reminding him of who he was, And Yisrael, when he was a good boy, he followed all the mitzvot, he done all the good things. God was patting him on the head. And well, as Yaakov represents the physical, the sin, all the earthly temptation in this world. But Yisrael represents the spiritual, the ethereal, the schizophrenic. I mean, the people who go, you know, whose morals are so good. Not bound by tradition or creed. A sort of hippie movement. Where he was free and, you know. My real question is, why does the Torah seem to hold on to the name Yaakov? What's the reason for it? My answer is simply that one is a formal name and another is casual. A certain colleague of mine has a nickname and a first name, believe it or not. And I called this person by the first name and he said, "Don't call me that." I said, "Why not? That's your name." She said, "Only my nearest and dearest call me that." I said, "Fine," but I took the point that she only wanted people that was close to her calling her by her first name because it was intimate to her. For example, in a doctor's surgery, they would call me as Mr. Logue. And if you call someone by their first name, it's often seen as their, is a, regret choose this word, familiarity. They know one another. Or being comfortable enough to call someone by their first name. I.e. removing that formal barrier, so to speak. Therefore, Hashem kept calling Yaakov this day because it represents his wrestle with Esav within the womb. We see this in Bereshit chapter 25, verse 22-26. But the children struggled in the womb, and she said, "If so, why do I exist?" She went to inquire of Hashem, and Hashem answered her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two separate people shall issue from your body. One people shall be mightier than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first one emerged red, like a hairy mantle all over. So they named him Esav. Then his brother emerged holding on to the heel of Esav, so they named him Yaakov. Yitzhak was 60 years old when they were born." Thus the name Yaakov means to grasp or take hold. This event foreshadowed their future relationship, whereby these brothers would strive against each other. Yaakov strove with Esav to serve God. As I said in the previous drasha, he was after Yitzhak's wealth. He was after to serve God, a capacity that God will give him. Whereas Esav only served himself. He only wanted inheritance, he wanted money, he wanted to buy all the Greggs. maybe buy Greg stores, sell Greg's. But with Yisrael, it is his wrestle with the angel of Hashem. Mm-hmm. He strove against an angel. And he won. Thus God says, your name shall no longer be Yaakov, but Yisrael. For you have striven with beings and divine, with beings divine and human, and have prevailed. So was it sentimental value that kept the name Yaakov? Yes and no. What Yaakov and Yisrael have in common is that they both represent a struggle. Mm-hmm. One with a human, that being Esav, the other with an angel, a being of great power. And according to Torah, Yaakov prevailed. The word used there excuse me tochal, which means to overcome, endure. Yaakov endured. He had the strength to prevail. But when we take the name Yisrael in context, which means God prevails, why not Yaakov prevails? That's like you've survived World War II, here's your medal, I give it to God. Do you mean I went through World War II, the medal, the honour goes to God? I mean, didn't Yaakov not prevail? However, what Hashem means by this name is that God was the source of Yaakov's strength. Every struggle that he had was because God gave him the strength to overcome that struggle. The only reason why he won against the angel was because the strength God gave him. The only reason why he won against Esav was because of the strength God gave him. Everything that we have comes from God. The oxygen that we breathe. The strength that we have in the morning to get up. Even at times when it seems we have little. Mm-hmm. Everything comes from God. And more so, Yaakov trusted God to give him that strength. It didn't just come out from nowhere. Yaakov had a relationship with God. Even at times he may have seen to himself that he wasn't perfect, because he said to Hashem, I'm not worthy of all this you have given me. So in himself he had insecurities, not feeling perfect 100% all the time. He knew he had things to work on. but yet he turned to God. There is no difference between Yaakov or Israel. He is one person. And when used in the Torah, I don't think it's as deep as some make it. Mm-hmm. People try and find esoteric, different meanings. Yaakov means sin because Yaakov's like the beginning of him, where he's not so perfect. But when God calls him Israel, it means he's been elevated. He's now perfect. He's now, on a pedestal. Mm. That's what I mean by there's no difference between Yaakov and Israel. However, it is a reminder of Yaakov's journey in life. Because it mimics the life of every Jew. At whatever stage. We strive against the world for God. The world is our Esav. Remember how Yaakov and Esav met? They hugged. They kissed. That was a mistake, Yaakov's part. Because what happened later down the road, he deceived Esav yet again. Go ahead, I'll meet you at the end of the road. What did Yaakov do? Didn't meet Esav at the end of the road. He went right away from him. Because he knew it would be dangerous to go ahead with Esav. Esav was so influenced by his uncle Yisrael that he became so ungodly. Mm-hmm. And Yaakov saw this. Why did he turn right? Because he may have been influenced by Esav, tempted by his trinkets, his wealth. Influence. After all, he had 400 men with him. That's probably not even including slaves and who else works with him. That was an army. So Yaakov turned right and chose to deceive Esav again. Because if Yaakov was straightforward with Esav at the beginning, there'd be no need for deception. He could have just said, Esav, look, you're my brother, but this is a line. I like you over there, and I am here. Your way is your way, my way is my way. Said Muhammad, the dear prophet of Islam, your God is not my God. And all that jazz. And that's the way we have to be with the world. We set boundaries. We say, you're over there, I am here. I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me. Because the world tries to influence us, even if we don't even know it. We as a nation or individuals also strive or wrestle with the Torah. In a positive way and also a negative way. What do you mean I can't eat? pork. They would try and rationalise it. We say, well, as we heard the other week, it's off Cain, we have refrigeration, we have freezers, we can keep it. But yet they forget the size that there's microbacteria inside it that's harmful. Maggots that can't be killed unless completely charcoaled. That conveniently is thrown out the window. So that's a wrestler. One has to take that one subject. That could be a defining subject for some. And they go, right, pork. God says not to eat it, but on the other hand, I really like it. I want to follow God, but you know, Greg's pork, the roll sausages are really tasty. See the wrestle. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? You choose a pork sausage, of course. And that could be applied to anything. Small or large, whatever it can be. You know, we all speak to our own lives. I'm not going to do that for you. Only some endure. Often people strive against the Torah but lose their faith. They may have, the Torah Mashiach say, a seed. It goes from a seed that some lay on the or fresh soil, or some land of rock, and they sprout, but they get choked by the weeds. They go, oh, Torah, this, that. Something comes up. All of a sudden, that's much more better than Torah. And then they lose faith altogether. In fact, they could run away from it as fast as possible. Whereas you have others that do the same, who are planted in fresh soil, to grow. And they go through the same experience but end up submitting. I think I've said once that submission is like a game of tug of war. When you let go, you've learned how to submit. When you stop pulling backwards, when you just go accept reality, you let go of the rope. And in the end up prevailing to earn life. Therefore, at the end of it all, no matter what side someone picks, God prevails. We may choose our own paths, but there's one thing we must all take into account, that at the end, we all face God. No matter what position you are, how high you are on that ladder of leadership or whatever you want to call it, we all meet God in the end. Yes. He is the source of our strength. And always remember, whatever situation, God wins. Okay.